ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're on text 38. We're getting near the end of the chapter. We'll be through with another one of these sets of small bound chapters. Etad Ishanam Ishasya. Etad Ishanam Ishasya. Prakritistho Api Tad Gunahi. Prakritistho Api Tad Gunahi. Na yujyate sadatma sthayar. Na yujyate sadatma sthayar. Yatha buddhist tad ashrayaha. Tad ashraya. Yatha buddhist tad ashraya. Etad ishanam ishasya. Prakritistho api tad gunahi. Na yujyate sadatma sthayar. Yatha buddhistadashraya. Etad ishanam ishasya. Prakritistho api tad gunahi. Na yujyate sadatma sthayar. Yatha buddhistadashraya. Etad ishanam ishasya. Prakritistho api tad gunahi. Na yujyate sadatma sthayar. Yatha buddhistadashraya.
Etad ishanam ishasya.
Etad ishanam ishasya.
Prakritistho api tad gunaihi.
Prakritistho api tad gunaihi.
Na yujyate sadatma sthayar.
Na yujyate sadatma sthayar.
Yatha buddhistadashraya.
Yatha buddhistadashraya. Etad. This. Ishanam. Divinity. Ishasya. Of the personality of Godhead. Prakritistaha, being in contact with material nature. Api, in spite of. Tatgunahi, by the qualities. Na, never. Yujyate, is affected. Sada, atmasthai, by those who are situated in eternity. Yatha, as is, buddhihi, intelligence, tat, the Lord, ashraya, those who are under the shelter of. Translation. This is the divinity of the personality of Godhead. He is not affected by the qualities of material nature, even though he is in contact with them. Similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord do not become influenced by the material qualities. Please repeat. This is the divinity of the personality of Godhead. He is not affected by the qualities of material nature, even though he is in contact with them. Similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord do not become influenced by the material qualities. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Vedas and Vedic literature, Shruti and Smriti, it is affirmed that in the divinity there is nothing material. He is transcendental, nirguna only. The Supreme Cognizant, Hari, or the personality of Godhead, is the supreme transcendental person situated beyond the range of material affection. These statements are also confirmed even by Acharya Shankara. One may argue that his relation with the goddesses of fortune may be transcendental, but what is about his relation with the Yadu dynasty, being born in that family, or is killing the non-believers like Jarasandha and other asuras directly in contact with the modes of material nature? The answer is that the divinity of the personality of Godhead is never in contact with the qualities of material nature in any circumstances. Actually, he is in contact with such qualities because he is the ultimate source of everything. Yet, he is above the action of such qualities. He is known, therefore, as Yogeshwara, or the master of mystic power, or in other words, the all-powerful. Even his learned devotees are not affected by the influence of the material modes. The great six Goswamis of Vrindavana all came from greatly rich and aristocratic families, but when they adopted the life of mendicants at Vrindavana, superficially they appeared to be in wretched conditions of life, but factually they were the richest of all in spiritual values. Such Mahabhagavatas, or first-grade devotees, although moving amongst men, are not contaminated by honor or insult, hunger or satisfaction, sleep or wakefulness, which are all resultant actions of the three modes of material nature. Similarly, some of them are engaged in worldly dealings, yet are unaffected. Unless these neutralities of life are there, one cannot be situated in transcendence. The divinity and his associates are on the same transcendental plane, and their glories are always sanctified by the action of Yoga Maya, or the internal potency of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord are always transcendental, even if they are sometimes found to have fallen in their behavior. The Lord emphatically declares in the Bhagavad Gita 9:30 that even if an unalloyed devotee is found to be fallen due to a previous material contamination, he is nevertheless to be accepted as fully transcendental because of his being engaged 100% in the devotional service of the Lord. The Lord protects him always because of his rendering service unto him, and the fallen conditions are to be considered accidental and temporary. They will vanish in no time. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ahyang Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupang Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunatan Vitangtang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Let's slow down for this one. Shri Shri Navadvipa Para Pradipa Sandipyamana Satato Bhubiha Chetastamohanti Hiyasya Yatnat Tang Kirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Prachoditak Shri Vyasadya Koshang Kushalang Kripaluhu Sanmletcha Vagdesha Chaye Dadadyas Tang Kirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Achadyate Yat Paratarka Drishya Govinda Murtyujvala Bhaskarena Advaita Kadyota Kulang Jagatyang Tang Kirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Yasyaiva Yatnena Purana Raja Gangamala Keshava Keli Hansa Satstotra Ratna Vahiti Haloke Tang Kirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Shri Radhika Krishna Padara Vinde Sahasra Hritsu Shatamandarishu Ropayadyo Madhure Prithivyam Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Kaushalya Dairyasya Sahasra Shastra Shastrati Varshay Pratihanyatehi Chanda Kalayar Mohak Chamor Hatena Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Nana lasad gaura siddha prakasha palakshito sthapita eva yena krishnanuchinta janasangha vriksha sankirtayama prabhupada devam yo nityada jivati daivikishu nijasu sikshashu tusangugami pripam buddhir nana sutta shudatma sankirtayama prabhupada devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabhtaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadhyaya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhap Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambhuchayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhume Swang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhomak Sri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha namo mahabhadanyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namne gauratvishe namaha chitatvatmakam krishnam bhaktarupa swarupakam bhaktavatarang bhaktakyang namami bhaktashaktikam he krishna karuna sindho dinabandho jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang Suratau Pangur Mama Mandamatergati Matsarvasvapadam Bhojao Radha Madana Mohanao Divyad Brindaranya Kalpadrumadhak Srimad Ratna Gara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prashtali Bhiksevyamanang Smaronimi Sriman Rasa Rasarambhi Vangshi Bhatta Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Swanayar Gopir Gopinata Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindaye Tulsi Devi Priyaye Keshavashacha Vishnu Bhakti Pradidevi Satyavatya Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo nasti papatma na paradhik chikashchana parihare pilajame king bruve purushottama yuvati nang yata yuni yunang cha yuvatau yata manobhiramate tadvan manome ramatang twai bhumaus kalita padanang bhumire vavalambanam twai jata paradhanang twameva sharanang prabho govinda valabhe radhe prarthaye twamahang sada Tvadiyamiti janatu govindo mang toyasaha Radhe vrindavanadhishe karunamritavahini Kripaya nijapadabja dasyang mahyang pradiyatam Vande nanda vrajastrinang padarenum abhikshnashaha Yasang harikatod gitang punati bhuvanatrayam Nama shreshtang munapisachiputra matra swarupam Shri rupang tasyagrajamurupurim maturingoshtabhatim Radha kundang giribaram mahoradhika madhavasang Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurung tang natosmi Adatanas trinang dantair idang yache punak punaha Srimad rupa padam bhoja rajo hangsyam bhave bhave Hantayam madrira bala haridasya varyo Yadrama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha Manang Tanoti Sahago Ganayosta Yuryat Pani Asuya Basakandara Kanda Mulahi Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This is the divinity of the personality of Godhead. He is not affected by the qualities of material nature, even though he is in contact with them. Similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord do not become influenced by the material qualities. So, what is our problem? We have problem. We have, you know, we're identifying with material bodies, so we always have some kind of misery, never really satisfied, and we're always frightened because we're facing inevitable death. We never know when it's going to come. We're separated from the Supreme Lord, and therefore we're really separated from all living entities. No one can be very close to us. In our material condition, we're lonely and cut off from the source of everything and the source of our life. And in this condition, we're always in contact with the qualities of material nature. We're trying to find our satisfaction with contact with material things, and all of them are more or less contaminated by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Three qualities. So they're all temporary. They're all material. So, of course, we know even within material things, some things are considered impure and some things are considered pure. But nothing is really pure except when it's offered to the Supreme Pure, when it's made suitable for offering to the Supreme Pure. Anything that is offered to Krishna has to be pure, and we have to make sure that we only offer him the purest of things. If they're not pure, he won't take it. But really, he takes it because of the love with which it's offered. He is by nature pure. In fact, he's the origin of everything. So he never comes under control of his material energy. In fact, he's the source of that energy. He's the controller of that energy. Even though he appears to be walking among us like another human being, and fools deride him when he descends in his human form, he's not like a human being in that sense. He's never under the control of his material energy, whereas every human being is under the control of his energy, either his material energy or his spiritual energy. He's fully independent, Swarat. How does the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmad Yasya Yaton Bayad Itaratas Chartesh Vabhigya Swarat Tene Brahma Hridayadi Kavaye Muhyanti Tatsurayo Tejo Bhadi Mridang Yatavani Mayo Yatra Trishargo Mrishat Tamna Swena Sada Nirashta Kuhakam Satyang Parang Timahi. So this is the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it sets forth the thesis of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the absolute truth, which is Bhagavan, the supreme independent person who's fully conscious, Abhigya Swarat, who's directly and indirectly. Could you let's read the. Take one of your for yourself too, and let's just read the first verse. First canto, part one, the blue book. There's a whole bunch of them there, so you can take one for yourself too. Thank you. So, let's see, there's an introduction. My book may have different page numbering than yours, but I'm looking for the first verse of chapter 1. On my book, it's page 43. O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the material of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is He only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, in the original living being. By Him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of Him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three material modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon Him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon Him, for He is the absolute truth. So if we understand the nature of Krishna, we understand that He can't be contaminated. He's never contaminated. And the Christians have this saying, in the world but not of it. Right? Have you heard that saying? Jesus Christ says, I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. So Krishna may come and appear in the world, even though inconceivably the world is also in Him. And also the world is not in Him because it's coming from Him. It's a manifestation from Him. And then He enters into it, into the inmost recess, it says here, of every extended conglomerate in this Brahma Samhita, the inmost recess. And then Bhaktisiddhanta gives some explanation of what does that mean, guham. Guham pravishte tasmings to the inmost recess, the most secret part of existence, the most intimate part of ourselves, or what, you know. It has different meanings. So, even though he's in contact with his material nature in this sense that it's all coming from him, but he doesn't contact it because anything that is in contact with him has to be spiritual. He's not different from his energies. And the nature of material energy is that which is not connected to him. It really is connected to him, but it appears to be not connected to him. That's what makes it material energy. Therefore, it's said that he simply glances over his material energy. And by that glance, he impregnates the material energy. He doesn't consort with his material energy, but he manifests himself in the form of his glance. And then his internal energy, chit potency, Rama Devi, she acts as the maidservant to carry that glance to her expansion, who is the material energy. And the combination of these two, Maheshwara and the material energy, Maya, create the faculty of perverted cognition. So it's the time energy in the form of his glance. Anyway, all this is explained in Brahma Samhita in difficult language and metaphors that are a little hard for us to understand. And not just metaphors, but actually these pastimes are really going on somehow. These are real personalities and real arrangements going on. But they're not like ordinary people, and we can't really understand how, with our limited conception. So Krishna is always pure, and Krishna consciousness is great purification medicines. Tang prasangan mama virya sangvido bhavanti hritkarna sayanakataha. Right? So tang prasanga bhavanti hritkarna sayanakataha. Taj joshana nashwapivarga bhartmani shradharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. So this process that we're doing right now of reciting these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing them, conceiving of them, thinking about them, having them enter into our consciousness. Srinvatang, Sukata Krishna, Punyashavana Kirtanaha. They work, they go into our heart and they clean up the material contamination, which consists of things like lust and greed and the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, which are deep-seated in our consciousness because we've been materially conditioned from a time that has no beginning so long. And by contacting Krishna, the Supreme Pure, just like if we touch something that's impure, we have to wash ourselves, right? We either touch water, something pure like water, or if we stay out in the sun, or something stays out in the sun, something that was contaminated may become purified by contact with sunlight or some other purification agent. Usually we wash with water, soap and water, and become clean. So with some clean water. So the most pure thing is Krishna, and he's never contaminated. So by remembering him, or hearing about him, or seeing his form, or tasting the remnants of his foodstuff, smelling the fragrances that were offered to him, and so forth, we become purified, and those tendencies in us, those contaminations of the mode of nature that have entered into our consciousness, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, lust is sitting in different places, like in intelligence, Hare Krishna, and in the mind and in the senses. Welcome, Hare Krishna. What's your name?
Sophia.
Oh, that's a beautiful name. And you? Janis. Well, welcome to the temple. Do you come? Have you been here before? This is your first time? Second time for Sophia? Well, welcome. You're very welcome here. I'm sorry. It might sound boring to you what I'm saying, but I won't keep too long. And then we'll take some prasadam. We'll chant some Hare Krishna. You'd like to chant and dance. Sophia's got kartals. You can play kartals. We'll play some music and we'll have some fun. So Krishna's pure. Om apavitra pavitrava. How does it go? Do you know? Can you recite it? Om apavitra pavitrava. Sarva vastam katopiva. Something like that. Yak smaret pundarika aksham. I don't know. This is the verse. Do you know it? It's the verse we always chant at initiations. And it's probably important for deity worship too. I just don't know. I'm sorry, I'm not qualified to be telling you. Everyone should know this verse. That Yak smaret pundarika aksham. Anyway, in any circumstances, whether pure or impure, you know, one who remembers the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead becomes immediately purified, becomes qualified. We were saying before. Anyway, let me read you the verse, Dimitri, because you didn't hear the verse because you're picking up your children. But this is the divinity of the personality of Godhead. He is not affected by the qualities of material nature, even though he is in contact with them. Similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord do not become influenced by the material qualities. So you were saying earlier today when we were talking about the Brahma Samhita, how the world, everything that's here, it's like we have to dedicate it to Krishna's service. You know, we shouldn't think that it's just contaminated. I mean, there are contaminated things. You don't want to, there's certain things, you know, that you don't touch, you know, because they're filthy or poison or, you know, whatever. There's different things. Some things are impure and you can't touch them. If it touches your offering, then your offering will be spoiled, right? We have to know actually how to use everything, what we have around us, to make a nice offering in sacrifice, and therefore to distinguish the pure from the impure, and to, you know, and to do it right. So the world has to, we have to use what we have. Like Gajendra was being attacked by a crocodile, he was in the middle of the water, so he had to find something to offer. He found a lotus flower, he was able to offer a flower. And if there's absolutely nothing around, we can make an offering within our mind. You can meditate on cooking for Krishna and making a nice preparation and going through all the steps until you get it all perfectly as you want it, and then you can put it on a very ornate plate made out of mental energy, and you set it down for him, and you can actually sing a nice song for him in your mind while he enjoys the offering. So we have to But anyway, the world is made of these separated Hare Krishna, Sri Krishna Purushottama. Fire, water, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. These are the separated energies. And yet we can perform service with these energies, and by dedicating them to Krishna in devotional service with love, he will accept them, which means they're no longer material. If he accepts them, they become spiritual. And therefore we have this understanding that if we take prasadam, it's already become spiritualized by contact with Krishna. If we smell the flowers that are offered to the deities, we're smelling spiritual flowers that's been offered to Krishna. And it's the devotee's discipline that the devotee doesn't eat anything that hasn't been offered to Krishna. The devotee's not interested in tasting or smelling something that hasn't first been offered to Krishna. In the old movie they had, when we first started preaching and stuff back in the, I guess it might have been the 60s or the earlier 70s, they made a movie. I don't know which version it was exactly, but it was, you know, you'd come to the Sunday feast and they would play for a movie for you about the Hare Krishnas. And part of the movie, the narrator is there and he says, an ordinary man, if he sees a beautiful flower, he thinks, let me give it to my girlfriend. But a devotee thinks, let me offer it to Krishna. So everything we're offering to Krishna, and the temple is a place that is also designated for people to come and learn about Krishna, the science of Krishna consciousness, to see the forms of Krishna. It's a center for meditation, because we see Krishna's form and we remember that form, Yaksmaret Pundarikaksham, that lotus-eyed form. And so everything about the temple becomes purified by dedication to Krishna. So the temple is also made of Chintamani. If we use everything for Krishna's service, then it becomes purified. And so even the temple building is started vibrating with, we might say, with the spiritual potency, you know, because the devotees are here and they're talking about Krishna here, they're chanting Hare Krishna, the deities are here, this is Krishna's house. So if it's Krishna's house, it's connected to Krishna, so it's not influenced by the material qualities. So then the question arises, well then why does the prasadam seem to get rotten if you don't eat it like ordinary food? Or why does the building of the temple seem to decay like an ordinary building and has to be maintained and things like that? So this is just due to our inability to see the transcendental aspect of it. And it's also, you know, we have to render service. We have to take the prasadam. We have to maintain the temple. We have to do all these things. We have to learn to dedicate everything to Krishna. And then we can see the transcendental aspect of it. You know, people, the Six Goswamis sang about the land of Vrindavan, or Srinivasacharya is singing in the song about the Six Goswamis, about how all the trees are desire trees. In Boma Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan you can go to in India, if you go there. It's not really in India, it's because it's connected to the transcendental plane. But you go there and they're singing that all the trees have under their roots all the valuable jewels. And, you know, but you might go there and see different things going on. Even people are watching television, they're selling eggs at the store, you know. I mean, someone's smoking a cigarette or something, you may see. You say, how come it's not so pure like I expected? But this is just, dude, we don't have the vision, we don't have the ability. It actually is pure, but it's being covered for various reasons. It's being covered from our vision. And as we purify ourselves, we'll develop the vision to see all these things. And not just the holy places and the holy things associated with Krishna, but this verse, or this purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining also the devotees. Actually, the verse. Similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord do not become influenced by the material qualities. So ordinary conditioned souls, we're influenced by material qualities. We feel very sleepy and we have to go to sleep, and we feel depressed or angry, and we get influenced by these different material qualities because we have material bodies And we're not completely, always completely dedicated to remembering Krishna and serving Krishna. But the advanced devotees, the Mahabhagavatas, or first grade devotees, although they're moving amongst men, they're not contaminated by honor or insult, hunger or satisfaction, sleep or wakefulness, which are all resultant actions of the three modes of material nature. So we're training up to be those kind of devotees. And we should actually treat each other as if we were those kind of devotees. That is, we should be very respectful to all devotees. And because a devotee who is really completely dedicated, a pure devotee, then even though they may appear to have a disease, to be old or frail, or to make some mistake or whatever, it's to be understood that they're actually beyond the modes of material nature. Just like when you go to Vrindavan, you may not see the jewels under the trees. Similarly, when you see, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you may not see his divine, youthful, golden form. There was one, I forget whether it was in Gurudas's book or Hayagriva's book, but there was one story where a devotee was with Srila Prabhupada in India, and he told Srila Prabhupada, "I had a dream. Srila Prabhupada, I had a dream last night, and I saw you in a beautiful, golden, effulgent form, youthful. And I said, who are you? And you said, well, I'm, you know, I'm your spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And he said, but you look so beautiful and golden. And he said, this is what I really look like. And then he said, then why do you appear like older? And he said, if I showed my real beauty, then I would only get cheap followers. So that if I forget whether it's Guru, I think it was Hayagriva. He told this to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that is the truth. And it's in his book. So we have to be careful when we're dealing with devotees, because they're just like Krishna is not under the influence of the modes of material nature. So even though a devotee is a jiva and can be under the influence of the modes of material nature, those devotees who are completely dedicated to Krishna, they're also the same as Krishna, transcendentally pure, like the six Goswamis are being described by Srila Prabhupada in this verse. And superficially, they appear to be in wretched conditions of life. They were living as mendicants without any money. They had given up their money. They were living off of whatever roti somebody would give them or something like that. They didn't have a fixed residence. They slept under trees in Vrindavan. It gets very cold at night in the winter and very hot in the daytime. Even especially in the summer, it gets very, very hot, and there's always different natural disturbances. One time, Sanatana Goswami was going to Jagannath Puri, and he came through the Jharikhand jungle there, and he got he drank some water from a pool that had some infection in it, some insect, you know, and he created this disease where he had this weeping sores on his body. The pus was coming out and stuff like that. So it seemed like, you know, to an external vision, oh, what a wretched condition he was in. And then at some point, Lord Chaitanya just embraced him. He said, no, you can't touch me. Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and it all went away. But actually, these are just pastimes, because they actually have, six Goswamis have transcendental bodies, and they are really manjaris from Krishna's Leela that have come to earth and taken these forms as learned, scholarly renunciates to propagate Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement throughout this world. And when we become pure also, we will not be affected, believe it or not. You know, we won't be affected by old age, death, disease and things. Only externally we may appear like that, but when we become fixed in our pure consciousness, we're not affected. After all, that's Isn't that what we're teaching? We're teaching people how to become immortal, how to become free from lust, anger, envy, greed, and all the material qualities, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance. What are the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance? Well, creation and destruction. Right? Everything is, in the material world, everything is in flux. But we're learning how to become eternal people connected. Parastasmatu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. So if we become perfect devotees, if we succeed in this process, this is a school for becoming immortal, actually. The Chinese, the Taoists, they have this, you know, this immortals. There's this land somewhere up in the mountains or maybe beyond the clouds or something like that, where the perfect yogi masters who practice the Tao, they're meditating on the underlying, you know, ineffable, undescribable, order that holds the universe together. In other words, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his localized form. They become so expert that they become immortal and they never die. Not just they're demigods, but they're considered like immortal. So, anyway, bhakti yogis can really become immortal, and we're learning how to do that, becoming free from the entanglement of the modes of nature. And then the Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita, the next step is not only can we understand that those who are pure devotees, first grade devotees, are actually transcendental like Krishna. I mean, Krishna, even although he showed his ever freshness, that he never got old, right? And so, but for the atheists, even Krishna, you know, pretended to die and leave behind a body. Actually, this is not really Krishna. Krishna is really eternal and doesn't die, and he. In fact, he's the whole universe is just an expansion of his energy. But for the atheists who want to see him as an ordinary man, he gave them something like that. So also the devotees may appear to be affected by material qualities, but the pure devotees aren't. But then, even further than that, this becomes a little harder to understand. Krishna says that if an unalloyed devotee is found to be fallen due to a previous material contamination, he is to be accepted as fully transcendental because of his being engaged 100% in the devotional service of the Lord. Sadhureva samantavyak samyak vyavasito hisaha. So, how can we understand this? That even if a devotee does some abominable character, does something wrong, you know, then that should be overlooked. It's understood that this is just a very short temporary thing, and quickly he'll become righteous in no time. Actual pure devotees have all the good qualities of the demigods. And those who are not devotees actually can't have any good qualities. This is a paradox for some people because sometimes, you know, we're preaching Krishna consciousness movement and we're getting people to come and join and they chant Hare Krishna. And they may still have so many... bad manners, bad habits, bad characteristics. Sometimes there's even disputes among devotees. But this can't, among pure devotees, if there's some apparent dispute, it's really just some transcendental exchange. Among pure devotees, there may be disagreements. Even among the different Vedas personified, they're discussing. And sometimes one has one opinion and one has another opinion. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and described in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita also. They may have different opinions, not always appearing in accordance. But this is the quality of pure devotees. And then sometimes a pure devotee who may somehow or another, due to a past contamination, make some mistake or act in some ways, the way that only a conditioned soul would act, commit a sin, even a very bad sin. It's only a temporary condition because of his engagement in devotional service. In other words, devotional service is the cure for all such mistakes, is the ultimate cure for all such mistakes. If you commit some sin, according to Karmakanda, you can perform some prayaschitta, some atonement. You undergo voluntarily some suffering, some control, and then you can counteract the effect of that sin. If you know how to do it right and you have a good guru and he explains how to do it, you know, you can actually avoid having to take birth again in some punished condition for the sin you committed. That will only cure the result of that particular sin, but it won't stop the tendency to commit sins, right, which is caused by this sense of being separate from Krishna, being a separate enjoyer, you know. But if you actually chant Hare Krishna, if you have a better guru who teaches you the path of bhakti, then you can chant Hare Krishna. That is more effective, stronger power. If you know, if you chant correctly, without offense, you chant properly and everything, you can't commit sins on the strength of chanting, then it won't work. If you commit offenses, or if you can't offend devotees, then it won't work, you know, if you blaspheme devotees. But if you chant Hare Krishna correctly, then it will be much more effective in destroying the results, protecting you so that you don't have to take birth or suffer for your sins. But not only that, but it will destroy the very seed that makes you commit sins. So it's the real cure for all of the problems of the world, all of the problems of a person's life. And therefore, devotional service is so great and so powerful that one who's a devotee, even if they do something wrong, they should just continue practicing devotional service. They shouldn't. They don't have to undergo any kind of other material reformatory activity, because the devotional service is itself the reformatory activity. Of course, if they commit offenses to someone, then they have to get forgiven by whoever they offend. So that's a different kettle of fish, as they say. But therefore, devotees have to be treated as saintly, seen as saintly, even if they make some mistake. That's a very amazing fact that Krishna discloses in Bhagavad Gita, and Srila Prabhupada is disclosing here. So, the children are getting restless. It's about 10 o'clock. Is there any discussion or questions, comments, and about anything we discussed or anything else? Please use the microphone.
One comment, not anything directly related to what we discussed, but regarding this modes of material nature, we find that we don't know how our body works. Everything is just working automatically inside without our intervention, really. And outside, it appears that some things are working according to our desires or according to our control. But actually, if we hear from the statements in Bhagavad Gita, outside is also everything is working automatically according to the modes of material nature. So it appears to me that both inside as well as outside, everything is going on its own. And it's just because of my own ignorance that I can think, oh, this is happening because of my work here. This is a result of my work. Or this is that correct?
Well, Bhagavad Gita says that prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara mudhatma kartaham iti manyate. You know, that the material world is going on. So we get nasajjate. What's the next verse? You know, anyway, we get entangled it becomes, we think that it depends on me, and if I don't do my job, then something important won't get done. We have to do our job. We have to do our duty. But we have we're not the cause of the fruits of our duty. So we have to be trained to see things like this. Otherwise, the ignorant people, they perform their work with attachment and they get entangled in the complexities. It's a very cleverly designed trap, the whole material nature. We can't see how it's working. That we think that we'll fix our problem, but the more effort we do to solve our problems, we just get more and more entangled in our complexities. Right, Sophia? Yep. So there's that famous, there's this famous article by Bhaktisiddhanta that starts out that, you know, the person who thinks the world stands in need of reform is himself in need of reform. I didn't quote it correctly, but you know, the point is we're seeing problems in the world, but the Ishopanishad says, Om Purnadataha Purnamidam, everything is perfect and complete because it's emanating from the perfect and complete. But we have to know how to move in the world in a perfect and complete way. I asked Jayadvaita Swami, who was here a few weeks ago, and I asked him the question, if everything is coming because of our past karma, then why should we do anything? Why not just stay in bed all day and wait for our karma to come? And he pointed out that there is a kind of sannyasi who just lies down like a python, and he said, don't try this yourself if you're not ready. But he doesn't move, you know. If someone comes and puts something in his mouth, he eats, and if someone doesn't, he doesn't. And sometimes they put in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj meets such a sannyasi, you know. Sometimes people build him a house and put him there, and sometimes he, you know. But we have to perform our duties. If we think that I'm just going to stop acting, and because I understand that the world is going on anyway, that even our mentality of stopping acting, if we're not enlightened, that's another kind of action. Krishna's describing that to Arjuna, that you have to understand action and reaction. The wise Arjuna asks, well, if you're saying that it's better to have your intelligence fixed, to control your senses and be in fixed intelligence, then why do you want me to fight this horrible battle? Why can't I just sit down and meditate? And Krishna says that, among other things, he says that to learn to meditate, there's two kinds of people, two kinds of determination. You know, one kind is through trying to analyze the world, or jnana. The sankhis, the jnanis, they try to understand the world through analysis. And others are yogis, and they dedicate everything into transcendence. And they have to use their working senses as well to do that. And then by the fifth chapter, he's explaining that these two paths are part of the same path. They shouldn't be seen as separate, and the one who achieves success in one, you know, has the results of both. But in the third chapter, he's saying to Arjuna that you have to work without attachment, and not merely by stopping work. Can you actually become naishkarmya? Can you actually become free from the reactions? And even if you are perfect, people will follow you, what you're doing, people who don't understand. So you should, to set a good example for the people so that the world works in the right way, I'm requesting you. He says, I don't have anything to do. I don't have any work required of me. You know, Krishna explains that those who have no attachment, naivatasya kritena arto na kriteneha kashchana na chaiva sarvabhuteshu kashchidarta vipashrayaha. The verse before that, actually, he's saying that those who really yas twatma ratireva syat atma triptascha manavaha atmanyeva cha santushto tasya karnang vidyate, those who are really self-satisfied, those who really are, no, that's like the fourth verse. Look about the 17th or 18th verse. It's right. Evang pravartatang chakrang nanuvartayatihaya aghayor indriyama ramo. That's 16. And then 17 is, yes, tvatma rati revasyat atma triptas chamanava.
Atman yaiva na santutas tasya
karyam na vidyate. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't. Yeah, that's the one. What's the, so he doesn't have any work to do. What's the translation?
My translation will be different than I'm looking at a different book, but in the sense is one who is content in the self and derives happiness from self alone is said to be free of duties.
Yes. Oh, which book have you got?
This is a little pocket Bhagavad Gita.
Uh-huh.
Where the English translations vary a little bit from that, but the
subject yeah.
is the same.
One who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one or self one of self-realization, and who's satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. But then later Krishna says, nevertheless, he says, there's no duty for me either, right? I don't have any work to do, but I still do. Otherwise, the world would be ruined, you know? I created everything. I created the four varnas. I created all the jobs. But he said, so I want those who are actually enlightened to set a good example, because people shouldn't be encouraged to stop work. They should be encouraged to keep doing their work, but to do it with the right mentality. Anyway, I don't know if I've sort of gone off the subject. Krishna Purushottama Prabhu, what are you? What have you got?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I have one question. In the last statement, Prabhupada is saying, like, even devotees are done some mistakes, Lord will still protect because of their past material contamination or material karma. So, if you know, like, you are practicing devotional service, we are doing from long time, we understand, even though they make sin, we need to have tolerance. But new people who comes and they will talk about this thing, you guys are not fading, or they will talk more about like negative things about this con. I was talking to one of my friend Prabhuji last week. He came from New York,
mm-hmm.
and maybe 1970s they have some problems, and they are keep on thinking same thing again and again, and is and how to
only in 1970s we have no problems anymore.
No, we still have problems. Like it mean doesn't mean like material world is means uh-huh. a problem. I told him you are always looking at negative side.
Yeah,
and we come up like we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are distributing prasad, and how they can't get that faith, Prabhu. How to tell them? They need to read Bhagavatam ultimately. But
yeah, there's a lot of people out there who are very detractors of Krishna consciousness, detractors of ISKCON or of Krishna consciousness, or they consider themselves to be more Krishna conscious, but they don't respect any devotees that are doing all this service. So it may be because of offenses that it will hinder them in their progress, and they may commit more offenses and will hinder them in their progress. So we should just. I don't know how to cure them, you know. Try to talk to them very, humbly and politely, and because it's important that we all keep together. People may have been mistreated by each other, you know, because this mood of treating everyone as a sadhu is something we all have to learn, but we haven't perfectly learned. So it's not to say, you know, them and us, you know, those who remain loyal to ISKCON are perfect, and those who had some problem and left are completely wrong. We should try to bring them back somehow into some service, or if they don't want to serve in ISKCON, you know, let them serve some other way. But we should try to develop this quality. I mean, wouldn't it be most of in the material world, everyone overlooks their own problems, their own faults, but they very much see the faults of everyone else, you know. And Krishna is enjoining us that for devotees, we must overlook the faults of devotees and recognize that they're properly situated to become cured very quickly, and therefore we're not allowed to, criticize or look down on them. Constructive criticism. You know, like we have a mission to perform, we have an organization, we want to make it better, through I mean, room for improvement. We all have room for improvement. And we can talk about, oh, wouldn't it be better if we do something like this? And if we bring it up in the right way, in the right time and place, and not to just cause a disturbance. It's necessary in any organization that we shouldn't think that we're perfect. In fact, the mood of the devotee is always, I'm so fallen, I have so much. How will I be without your mercy? I won't be able to do anything. So this is a mood. It's the opposite, really, of the material mood. The material mood is, I don't want to hear anybody say anything bad about me. Right? It hurts when people say something bad about you, even though there's bad stuff about us, But if somebody, if you know somebody very well and every time you do something bad, they say, yeah, you're doing that again. That's because you have this bad quality. You always do that. After a while, it makes you angry. Like, I don't want to hear it anymore, Can't I just live in the illusion that I don't have any faults? But the transcendental atmosphere is that everyone sees the good qualities of each other. They overlook any bad qualities. And in that atmosphere, then, people get higher and higher association of those who really have no bad qualities at all. But we have to develop those qualities. Srila Prabhupada said, all the good qualities of the devotees, equanimity, they don't have friends and enemies, they don't play favorites, they're very tolerant, they're honest, they don't cause any disturbance to any living entity, they're the kind friend of all these things that are described of pure devotees in the 12th chapter, and the qualities, the Daivi Sampat, the divine assets described in the beginning of the 16th chapter of those who are born with divine natures. All of those things are the ornaments of devotees. And if we're to be accepted that we're really becoming devotees, we have to actually develop those qualities. But how to develop those qualities? We can't just develop them by imitation or we should try to act nice, and we should try to not cause any disturbance, and we should try to always be honest. But unless we've actually become pure devotees, we won't be able to develop those qualities. So we have to actually chant good rounds, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, worship the spiritual master, do all the things that enable us to become pure devotees of Krishna. And only the pure devotees of Krishna can have those wonderful qualities which, like we were reading earlier about the six Goswamis, that they were popular with both the gentle and the ruffians because they were never envious of anybody, and everything they did was always beneficial and pleasing to everyone because they were pure devotees of Krishna. So because Krishna is the kindest friend of all living entities. So if you're Krishna's friend, then you're also the kindest friend. If you're, yes.
So these qualities then are coming from the practice of devotional service. And there are verses in the Bhagavad Gita where they are described, being pridelessness, humility, all those things. And so one is not really trying to acquire them. They are then automatically coming by practicing devotional service.
Yeah.
It's not one is focused on trying to build character or honesty and all. It just comes with the practice of this transcendental.
Yes, but that doesn't mean, again, like we don't lay in bed all day waiting for our karma to come because we have duties. It doesn't mean that we don't teach our children that it's wrong to lie and it's wrong to steal and stuff like that. I mean, we should try normally to develop good qualities. But the Krishna consciousness is the real pure devotional service is the source of all these good qualities. We have something much. We're not a society for vegetarianism or a society for truthfulness or something like that. Truthfulness and vegetarianism and rising early in the morning, they're already included in being a devotee. We don't have to join a separate organization. Or you may. I mean, it's not that a devotee can't also be a member of Rotary Club or the Kiwanis and do good works and things like that. But we have something much more important to give, the pure devotional service that most people in the world are missing, even if they are doing very good things. Most people don't understand it. They think, well, if you're such a good society, where's the charity? Why aren't you doing more to help the poor and, doing more to build hospitals and libraries and, fix the road or dig wells or do something, Why are you wasting your time? Because they don't have any attraction to Krishna consciousness. Then why are you wasting your time sitting around discussing this old book, you know, this mythology, you know, when you could be actually doing something better by, you know, providing medical attention to people who need it. And of course people need medical attention, and it's good that there's people in the world who are doing that, and we're not saying that, you know, people suffering from diseases should be neglected and just suffer or anything. But that's going on anyway. But somebody has to be keeping the Srimad Bhagavatam alive, because this is the source of all auspiciousness. And without this, everything would fall apart very, very quickly. Actually, this chanting Hare Krishna, this worshipping the deities of Krishna, and discussing this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is actually sustaining the good qualities, and you know, it has an effect throughout the ether. People see you. You don't know. You're doing devotional service and you have qualities of devotee. Somebody just sees you and it influences them. You know, and the world is becoming raised to a higher level because of the activity of devotees are going on, and this ISKCON is creating many devotees and doing very powerful activities. We're not exclusive. We're not saying we're the only devotees in the world or the only sadhus are all in ISKCON or something like that. But sadhus are important in the world, and ISKCON is dedicated to creating sadhus. So, like that. So it's getting 10:15. Maybe we should have the Guru Puja. Unless anybody has anything, one more thing that they're dying to say or something. So we should...
Okay. Actually, you answered the question that I was going to ask, which is that when people say, why are you focusing on these books and these things instead of being out there helping people? So another way of putting that is that you are just focused on yourself and you have no concern for others. This could be a point that could be made in this path of self-realization, that you are selfish. All you care is your own spiritual self-development. What about others? But I think you answered it by saying that by focusing on the self and one becoming enlightened, it influences others. So in order to do the work, first start with the work of the world, first start with yourself rather than trying to correct the world.
And we're not just going off to some very remote mountain retreat where we can all sit and become very learned and just completely concentrating on Srimad Bhagavatam. We're going out door to door trying to get other people to, hey, this is the words of Srila Prabhupada, this are the words of Krishna, of Shukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami, of Narada Muni, and all these, you know, you should pay attention to these words. Oh, Yanis. Sorry, another thing I should stop, because we have some kids that are going to be restless if we don't do something other than talk. And it's time. So we go out on book distribution. We're not just... bhajanandis. That we're just concerned with our own bhajan. Even the bhajanandis are doing something great for the world. But Srila Prabhupada is out to benedict the whole world with Krishna consciousness. And so he's ordered us to... We have a great mission, actually. You know, we're not satisfied to just... And we have to know this. In ISKCON, we should really know this, that we're not satisfied to just practice, you know, pure Vaishnavism by ourselves in some exclusive little enclave where people think, oh, that's a Hindu, faith. That's your faith, and we have our faith, and everybody, that's all right. You can all have your own little, lifestyles or whatever, you know, your little separate thing. But no, actually, we have a mission to say, no, this isn't just our faith. This is actually the eternal dharma of everyone. It's not just an Indian thing. It's not just something exclusive to some particular social group or anything like that. It's not a Brahmin thing or a this thing. No, this is actually for everyone. It's mandatory for everyone. We're not going to disturb people. We're not going to disturb the faithless by coming and challenging them and making them upset, because that creates offenses. That's an offense to the holy name. But we're actually there to enlighten the world. No, You know, that's our purpose. In ISKCON, it's not our purpose to find, you know, suppose we could organize things in such a way that lots of people would give us enough donations that we could just carry on worshiping Krishna and we never had to worry about having enough money to pay the bills and to buy the boga and all that stuff. But that's not what we're not, we won't be satisfied with that. That's not what we're out to do. We have to find ways to actually infiltrate the, you know, the cultural, you know, the arbiters of what is true and what is right and what is good, the arbiters of taste and style and everything. We have to encourage everybody, no, chant Hare Krishna. You know, somehow or another we have to get everyone chanting Hare Krishna. Not just chanting, but actually properly understanding and chanting with the right mood and, you know, reading Prabhupada's books and understanding Prabhupada's books. First step is to sell everyone Prabhupada's books. That's we're doing that here at ISV. And then we have to, you know, now we have our Bhakti Shastri classes and we have to, you know, we have to be able to bring people in to take these classes and to understand what they're getting something out of it. And to really be able to, you know, transform the whole society. So Srila Prabhupada was all about, we just read, before you guys were here, we read the poem that he wrote in the Boston Harbor when he first arrived. But, you know, he was there to make people understand the mellows of pure devotional service. And he was saying, I don't know how they're going to do it. Krishna, it's up to you because, you know, they're busy in passion and ignorance, and how are they going to be able to appreciate that? They think that they're all right and they don't need it. Like you try to give someone a book, that's okay, I'm good, you know, I'm all right. I don't have time for that. That's a waste of my time. So we have this mission to transform the whole society and make the Sankirtan movement, you know, make everyone chant, you know, everyone participate. And, yes?
Liked which you told Prabhu, like we are trapped here. Like if we are going to fix one problem, we are getting another problem. So like I was listening one time Rajnath Swami Maharaj lecture. Maharaj told in London, I think 20 years before they have one disease, and they found out the disease because of rats. So then they killed all the rats in London, and after killing the rats, they found out it's because of cats. So the point is, as you told Prabhu, like we are going to fix one thing and we are getting another problem. And we found out it's not the root cause of the problem.
Do we have, I think in here there's the on chanting, the translation. It might be in here. Maybe not. I saw it somewhere recently that there's a famous recording. You must have heard it. And Srila Prabhupada recorded himself chanting Hare Krishna, and then we distributed that recording. And then in the beginning, he explains it, you know, and he has a little discussion of how this chanting is coming from the spiritual plane and it penetrates the sensual, mental, and intellectual plane. And, you know, and he says in there, you know, that's the one where he says even a child can do it and even a dog can do it. And, you know, you're familiar with the recording, right? And he says that that nature is, you know, we're under the nature's stringent laws, and the more and more we try to solve the problems, we only become more entangled in her complexities. I'd like to find the exact quote, but it's in, I just saw it somewhere. I was looking in some songbook or something and I saw, forward, introduction.
My good. Hare Krishna, one of the translations.
Standard prayers. Okay, yeah, here it is. We've seen this practically. It's on page 16. So it says, Maya means that which is not. And what is that illusion? The illusion is that we're trying to be the lords of material nature while we are actually under the grip of her stringent laws. When a servant artificially tries to imitate the all-powerful master, this is called illusion. In this polluted concept of life, we are all trying to exploit the resources of material nature, but actually we are becoming more and more entangled in her complexities. Therefore, although we are engaged in a hard struggle to conquer nature, we are ever more dependent on her. This illusory struggle against material nature can be stopped at once by revival of our Krishna consciousness. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda.